job requires. Let's give him a clap, because he not only can preach, but he can play and sing. He's awesome. Thank you so much, Tim.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben. Big round of applause for Ben. Morning. How you doing? Morning. How you doing? Oh, man. You gonna leave me up here by myself? I'm not by myself. Nor do I have to take my worship hat off, because all of our life is an expression of worship in response to the love of God. Amen? Amen. Hey, I want to reiterate, welcome this morning. If you're here in person, regular or new, or you're online, it's so great to have you here. And a huge thank you. We did back-to-back services. Well, Good Friday, then back-to-back on Easter Sunday. It was so good to get together and to recognize the most significant act of love and sacrifice in history. Jesus finished work on the cross, and we couldn't have done it with all about our incredible volunteers. So can we just say a big thank you to them today? We're kind of following a logical order. So what did we talk about? Well, Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem to shouts of Hosanna, to worship and praise, but literally save us, help us, we need you. And then what did love do? Well, what does love require? That's the series we're in. Well, it required the death of Jesus on Good Friday. It required the horrible darkness, awkwardness in between of the Saturday. Like, we live in the reality of how this finishes, but can you imagine what the Saturday had felt like? And then resurrection, Easter, celebration Sunday, the love of God required the resurrection of Christ. And this is the death we die to ourselves and the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. So the logical trend is, well, what did love require of Christ? And now what does it require of us? So we're going to talk about that today. Is that cool? Yeah. Awesome. Let's go. Real love has an expression. If you never do anything with it, is it really there? Well, Scripture tells us that we're supposed to have faith to be saved, but we're also to accompany that by doing something. So real love has an expression. Hey, I just noticed Liz and Chris Walters over here. And they are an incredible couple who were in this church for a long time now in Melbourne, unless you've moved. And Chris literally taught me my timing as a drummer by just playing keys and doing this. And that's pretty much all I remember of my childhood. No. But I want to honour them. They're an incredible couple, incredible family, and it's so good to have them here today. So love has an expression. It's not just a chemical response. It's not just feelings. It's not just thoughts. It's not just words. It's not just intentions. It has an expression. And we could talk about many different parables, examples, but really the overarching message comes from this incredible part of Scripture, Romans 12 verses 9 to 21. And I invite you to go there with me now. It'll be on the screen. It'll be on your screen at home. But open your phone, open your Bible, whatever you might have. Let's explore this idea. Love in action. Everyone say love in action. Awesome. All right, we're on holidays. Hands up if you're on holidays. Hands up if your kids are on holidays, which means you are not on holidays. Well, kind of us, we're in the middle. Anyway, it's good to be here. Let's start. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love, talking to us. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, your passion, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Prayer is where we start, amen? Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I love it that it's like, full stop. Practice hospitality. Roger that. Okay. Bless those who persecute you hard. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. We're going to go back and unpack this towards the end. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Pride is an issue in the Christian walk. We hear it all the time. Be humble, don't be proud. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. That's pretty hard. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, he or she, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Awesome. All right, we're going to come back to that. There's some things in there. You're like, we're talking about love, and then we're talking about wrath, and then like avenge and evil. What is going on? We're going to unpack this. My title today is Childlike. Childlike. All right. We got the kids in here at school holidays, but it's good. You with me? All right, I'm with you. I'm here. It's good. Let's go. But we love you, but there's also a parents' room out there and you can still see me. Childlike. I went down to Proudfoot's one day and saw a schoolmate and his family. And I went over next to them and I'll do what I did. I went over, they're sitting at a table, and I went like, "Hey, Alan, how you doing?" Good, that's good. I did that and we had a chat and my mate's dad, who's this beautiful guy, was like, "You are so much like your dad." And I went, "Yeah, that's cool. My dad's pretty cool. That's okay. It's good." But isn't there a point in our life where as children, growing into, you know, teenagers, then adults, it's usually past the stage of like, I know everything between, I don't know, what, 16 and 25 or whatever it might be. That's a general. But you start to realize you don't know everything. And then you start to realize there are some things that I do that are a lot like my parents. Now, very general, all right. Sometimes that's not a good thing. But in this case, it was. And we are in the stage of our life where, shush Marco, where our kids are like one view, one listen, copycat. So the other day, like proud dad moment, our six-year-old, my dad has taught our son Elliot to play chess and he's only seen the board set up once and he set it up after seeing how to set it up once. Oh, come on. Like, let me be a proud dad. Like, that's pretty cool. See, I don't talk about surfing all the time. Anyway. So, kids are in this stage like sponges and they just see something once or hear something once, which at the same time is kind of scary. And they take it on board so quickly. You know, childlike. We're called to have childlike faith, aren't we? And I want to take that thought further. We're called to, what is our name? We are called Christians when we know Jesus. I don't know if you know what that means, but it literally means little Christs. We are little copies of him. God has made us in his image. Sin comes into the world, separates us from God. Jesus made a way for us to come back and he is our example. So what do we want to do? Well, every little thing he does, we want to do. And we should aspire to only need to see it and hear it once. Wouldn't that be incredible? You just like hear something in church, like this is what Jesus did, this is what Jesus said, and you're just like, bang, life change, behavior change. I mean, it's hard, but we can be willing and transformed by the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And people's response, it would be amazing if they were like, "Man, you talk, walk, and act like that Jesus guy. Great. You're just like your dad. You're just like the one who saved you." We'll get there. We're getting there. So a good understanding theology of this. We are saved by grace through faith. We can only boast in Jesus, who is the only one who saves. We get on doing the will and work of God in love, loving him and others, which outworks in doing something. It cannot outwork without doing something. Love has an expression. John 3:16, I don't know if you know the passage, says, "For God so loved the world that he did something. He gave his one and only son, and in return we do something that whoever believes, and then we receive something, which is eternal life." It's incredible. Amen. So we're not doing something for our salvation beyond believing, but we are certainly doing something with our salvation. Amen. That is what love requires. And in all, I don't know if you noticed, but in the world, in church, leadership is like this incredible word that is so loaded, and it's almost like the word of the day, and it's great. But the vision of that word, the better or preferable picture of the future for that word, is that it would be servant leadership, where leadership, and you don't even have to put servant before it. Therefore, what are we called to do? We're called primarily to serve. We are not called primarily to lead, but to serve in following Jesus' example. And you know what? That involves a lot of trust. Because service actually means like I'm putting myself lower than others. I'm putting others first, and I'm trusting that God will do what he wants to do and disrupt my day. And it's going to feel disruptive, but that's actually what we're called to do. We're called to follow Jesus' example, who came not to be served, but to serve. And it's so profound because he is God. How does that make sense? Previous pastor who is actually moving to Warrnambool and coming to church. So Paul and Ann Downey, we're so excited to have them come down. It was on Facebook, so I'm going to treat it like it's public. They've bought a house close to here, and they are going to be coming back to church and calling Gateway home, which is incredible. But when I was about 25, Paul, who was a mentor of mine, still is, married my wife Elise and I, told me that he really enjoys doing funerals. And at the time, I was like, man, you crazy. What does that mean? But you know what? He had come to a place where in response to God's love for him, the opportunity to serve people in those situations, which there is always grief no matter what. There's always loss no matter what. If you're a Christian, there is joy and hope at the same time. But there can be some really complex situations. But he counted it such a privilege to be there and serve and be a part of incredibly pivotal and key conversations, to be there in those moments. And I have done that since, and I now understand what he means. It's not easy, but the role you play in serving is profound, and it will make you thankful to the Lord for placing you there. You know, the reality is a heart for service will put you in a position to influence others. But this passage really tells us we better have our hearts right when we're doing that. It's the mission of God in the hands of imperfect people. The disciples said, Jesus, how do we pray? He responded in Matthew 6, "Our Father in heaven," that's how we should relate to God, as our Father, "your kingdom come, your will be done." So we influence as we serve, bringing light, love, life, hope, justice, transformation to a world that surely and sorely needs it. I said some time ago, there was a study done by Barna, who do studies of Christians and non-Christians alike. And what they found is that, I don't know if it's just Australia, but in a lot of places, only 2% of people trust a pastor. Oh! And when I first said it, there was kind of this, oh, poor Tim. I know, it's rough, but it's all about relationship. But anyway, that would be an issue if God's kingdom coming and his plan was solely dependent on people who are pastors. But it isn't, is it? So we are called as a body of believers here. Gateway is one church. It's a church, part of the church in the world, a priesthood of believers. You have a priestly role. Not just, you know, you might go, oh yes, the father in the home, that's their role. Yes, it is. But you have a role in that as well. And can I call your attention to something? This is not just my role, but it's your role. In this world where everything, even little old Gateway Church, has gone into the online space, you know, don't waste a crisis. God will use it to leverage people and to leverage things for his kingdom. But now we're in the online space and you've got phenomenal speakers. You have access to the best preachers, speakers, teachers, worship in the world. Whoever that is for you, whoever's coming to mind, you do need a bit of discernment there. So we'll talk about that. We're going to go through Matthew 7 and look at how do we navigate this world we're in. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But here's the reality. We are called the priesthood of all believers. And what that incredible speaker who is imparting knowledge, wisdom, teaching to your life, what they can't do is sit with you. They can't go visit you. They can't mentor you. They can't be there when you're hurting. They can't cook you a lasagna. God bless you, Gail Zornit, for cooking us a lasagna. You're awesome. So the local church will never not be needed. Stay with me. Whatever's going on back there, don't worry. It's happening here. You got it? The local church, that's us together. Church without walls. Wherever you are, don't downplay what your presence brings. Because when you have Christ, where your feet take you, who's there with you? He is. So you're walking into situations that look dark. Well, you don't have to do something about it. He is the light of the world. And the darkness won't overcome him. All right. So where do we serve? Where do we serve? Let's unpack this briefly. No, well, I'll take you through it. So where do we serve? All right. First, so what have I got? I got five places that we serve. Everyone just go five. Give the person next to you a shadow high five. Don't you dare touch each other. I've been awake for too long. I'm a little cheeky today. Sorry. Okay. So where do we serve? Well, first, in our heart. Our heart better be right. And I don't mean that as a pressure. I mean that as an invitation to go, Lord, look at my heart. And later we're going to talk about why are we doing what we're doing. Later, we're going to be here till 5 o'clock tonight. No, we're not. So where do we serve? First, in our heart. We're called to love the Lord our God and then to love our neighbor. Awesome. You know, in Revelation 2, I think it's Revelation 2 verse 4, it's written to the church in Ephesus and says, like, you have got an incredible church. Your teaching, your theology, your prayer, all of these things are great. The structure of how you do this, your community outreach is great, but you have forgotten your first love. What does love require? Well, first, a burning affection for Jesus. I don't know if you're like, man, I'm too manly for that kind of talk or whatever. This is what God does. He softens hearts, a burning affection for Jesus. And here's the reality. Whatever is going on in our hearts comes out. So every word we speak is either going to be out of love or it's going to be out of fear. And fear is the chief activator of our faults. This is what we're invited to. This is love in action. All right, so first one was heart. Second one's home. Everyone say home. Where, how do I want to say this? How's your Christian walk at home? Because in some ways, you can create your own environment and you can have a great Christian walk at home. But on the other side, you're most comfortable at home. And so sometimes actually what comes out at home are things that you would hope nobody else ever sees. It's a true reflection of where you are. And it is after your heart, it's your first ministry opportunity in your home. Can I confess something? On the days that I don't look to Jesus first, I'm critical of my wife, I'm frustrated with my kids, and annoyed at disruptions to my plans. And bad drivers. I am. This is what happens. Like, we are saved once. We are justified once by what Jesus did, but we're invited to go to him every day, to die to what we want every day and see what God wants us to do. So how are your days? For me, focusing on Jesus makes a profound difference in every moment of every day. What's it look like? Problems are smaller, faith is bigger, peace is found, wisdom, clarity. That's what happens. So that's home. Church. Man, it's good to be together, isn't it? Have you forgotten where we've been? Celebrate. Be thankful. This is not our idea. Church is God's idea. Okay? This is this thing that he has ordained. It's incredible that exploded after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. So Galatians 6:10 says, you know, first, do good to the body of believers. Hopefully we have a passion to reach out to people in the world. But be careful as you reach out. Don't treat each other in here, in our bigger church, half of, more than half, not here today, can't be here yet. Let's pray for restrictions to ease totally so we can all be here. Do good to the body of believers. Ephesians 4:2 says, we are to pour ourselves out in acts of love. And we've got to trust that as we do that in the church, people are going to see it. And they're going to be like, Ashton, I don't know what it is about you, man, but I love what you do and I want you to tell me. And I know that you, Ashton's one of our youth leaders. He's phenomenal. He is always ready to give an answer for the hope he has in Jesus Christ as he's called to with gentleness and respect. Love you, man. You're such a good guy. Awesome. All right, so that's church. And this is an order. Heart, home, church. What's next? Community. I don't know if you remember, but when God allowed the Israelites to be taken into captivity, he said, what are you supposed to do there? They'd literally been taken from their home. We know that this is not our true home. We're in essence in exile, awaiting the return of Jesus, new heaven, new earth, God's kingdom to fully come. But right now we're here, and so we're told in principle to seek the peace and prosperity of the place in which we are. Be involved in the lives of the poor and the needy, and to seek to bless Warrnambool, if this is where you live, or the Southwest. Wherever you're from, take that principle home. So community, last one, world. Our mission statement to teach and resource people to live their lives in day-to-day relationship with Jesus Christ is from Matthew 28. Jesus says, go out, make disciples, teach them to obey what I've commanded. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then the last thing he says is like, you're going to have trouble. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. It's going to cost you. You need to realize what I have done for you to be able to walk in this. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Too frequently, we who've come to a saving knowledge of Jesus are content for it to be just that. And we don't make any effort to teach, to instruct others in a belief which has helped us. More than helped, what has it done? It has saved us. It is our very life. So what does love require from us? Well, in response to God's word, we're to be known for our love. But you know what? The world is giving you definitions of love and success, all of these things, trying to define them. Don't take the meaning and purpose from what the world says. Go to Scripture and see what comes. Shout out to the crew in the overflow room. Hey, just a little bit of levity in the middle. Can we go to that next image? We need to realize what we've been through and where we're at. Not that long ago, a lot of us, this is how we're watching church. I have so many responses, I'll just stop. Anyway, I'll stop. We've been through a season, you know, where our energy has gone into deficit. It's gone into the red. But you know what? So as we come back, you know, one of the tensions we're navigating in church is actually people wanting to come back to church has been ahead of people's willingness to serve in church because we're tired. I know that. We know that. As a team, we wrestle with that at the same time. That's why we need your prayers. That's why we're praying for you. And the challenge in that, and I say this with great respect, is that if you realize in your schedule there's no place for serving Jesus and you're just wrecked, you've got no margin, and I just want to identify that the second place to serve is in your home, and there are seasons where that is where you're serving. But if you're going, there is no fruit in my life in following Jesus, there's something wrong. And it will never change if you don't stop and look at it, and something has to change. So this isn't just that the only place to serve in response to God's love is in the church. That is part of God's plan for the church and your community. But the Christian walk has an expression that is tangible, that shows up in a real sense when you are following Jesus. Faith without works is dead. So today there'll be an invitation to talk that through, to pray that through. This isn't obligation or compulsion or manipulation. This is what Scripture says, and this is the life that a Christian is called to live. Because who are we first? Well, first we are followers of Jesus. You are not first a husband, wife, son, daughter, whatever your job is. That is not who you are first. You are first, when you know Christ, a follower of Jesus. And that life brings fruit. So, love requires our death to ourselves, to our agendas, to our preferences, and in surrender. And love and following Jesus, God will help us look at our hearts first and go, hang on, what did this season, I know this is funny, but I mean it seriously, what did this season teach me? Maybe it taught you some good things, but maybe it actually taught you some things that aren't great. Maybe you built some new habits that aren't great. I think God was saying to a lot of people, you're far too busy. So doing less is not a negative. But what are you doing? Ask God, Lord, what do you want me to be doing? I'm not going to go much longer, but I want that passage back up from the start. Please, Hannah. Hannah's in media doing a great, great job. All right, so we've got the heart position. Our love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. And so it's sacrificial. Honor one another above ourselves. And so love is humble. Never be lacking in zeal. God's love towards us is passionate and powerful. Our love should reflect that. Keep our spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. How's your passion? How's your joy? Be joyful in hope. This is where we can't do this without the Holy Spirit, but let's be thankful that even in our weakness, God's power shines through, so we can be patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. When we're not, you know, when we don't pray, things don't happen for your life, for the collective that you're in, for the world in which you are in. I think Pastor Prudy on that first Sunday said, like, when I ask for help, I get it. It's an invitation to pray and ask for help. Share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. So we're called to be generous. But then it shifts. To love a stranger is profound, but to love an enemy is not that we're divine, but it shows the work of God in our lives. And it goes far beyond being profound. So bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. So love is empathetic. And if someone's hurting, we don't just say like, oh, that's because you just got a lack of hope, lack of joy, lack of faith, whatever. Sit with them, listen to them, pray with them, meet their practical needs, be there, be present. If you're like, I am not emotionally intelligent, I never know what's going on with people, that's something that you can develop. Own it, talk about it. God can work in that. Live in harmony with one another. Where there is unity, God commands a blessing. Live in unity. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be considered. I don't need to reiterate that. Don't be proud. Let's go to the next one. Don't repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. I read that, I'm like, what? That is so hard. Okay, Lord, help me. Help me, because I can't do that by myself. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. I mean, that's pretty full-on language when we talk about love in action, but what he's saying is ultimately, trust me. In any way that you are wronged, justice belongs to the Lord. Hey, how are we doing? Is this pretty heavy for middle of school holidays? You doing all right? We'll wrap it up soon. And then it goes into that space where when we've seen these kind of things in history, when your enemy is hungry, you feed them. If they're thirsty, help them. It has changed the trajectory of situations and history at every point. And so the opportunity is in front of us to live this out and say, Holy Spirit, help me, make me willing. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his or her head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All right, what does that mean? Heaping coals, great metaphor. It's amazing. It's actually really quite simple. If someone is being evil towards you, and in response, you are repaying it with good, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to melt their heart with your love and kindness, and then that will come back towards you, or it's actually going to tick them off even more. And what it actually means, and the commentary is this, that it actually will bring God's wrath upon them sooner. Ultimately, we're trusting. It's an invitation to trust. And I don't start to understand when and how God's justice comes in that sense, but this is what this means. Do not be overcome by evil. If something happens and what it does to you is destroys your joy, your peace, your faith, it puts you at low in spirits. You know, we get hit by those things and we're in the valley for a while, but don't stay there. And so it is hard. But what happens is if we stay there, then we've been conquered by the thing itself. And Jesus died so that we wouldn't have to stay there. Amen? The person that can't quietly bear an injury is perfectly conquered by it. Pretty powerful. Hey, let me just talk about culture just for one second. I want to pose a question to you, and this denotes our behavior and who we're doing life with and how we do what we're called to do. Would you rather build your life alongside those who do for others or criticize others? We can look at the world and everything that is wrong with it. But the evil of criticism, which is rampant on social media and destroys lives, really doesn't achieve anything. But loving people does. No matter the response, no matter the cost, no matter if we get repaid, love is transformative. All right, lastly, done a great job. Love requires us, me, to ask, why do I serve? Can we go to that last one? Thanks, Hannah. So why do we serve? To glorify and worship God, to bring about his kingdom plans. He doesn't need us, but he'll certainly use us. Amen? And for God, for people God loves to come back to him through Jesus. I want to give an invitation to you. If you want to step into serving here at Gateway, well, there's a Connect desk out there as you leave, or you can fill out a Connect form on the website. We'd love to have you serving. It's part of God's plan for your life, is serving in church, being in community. It's not our idea, it's his idea, and it grows us. So I wonder, because our prayer, especially in a season when we're tired, we're like, are you asking me to do more? Oh, I think actually we're asking God to look at our hearts, our motivation for why, and to look at our schedule and say, is this actually what you want me to be doing, Lord? Is this in response to your love where I should be pouring my life and energy? And when you want to disrupt what's going on, am I moving so quickly with my blinkers on that I can never stop and be disrupted? And that takes trust. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you sent Jesus into the world to save us. And we thank you that you gave us the most profound example of how to live love in action. Thank you that the church is called to be a community that looks totally different from the world. It's not a country club, it's a hospital. It's not all neat and tidy, it's messy. Because we're hurting, and it's an open invitation for hurt people to come in. We're called to be those in response to your love who pour out ourselves in acts of love and sacrifice for others. And Lord, when we do that, we don't trust that they are going to repay us, or that when someone wrongs us, that Lord, we get to go and seek vengeance or seek a response. Lord, we trust you with the outcome. And Lord, today, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Lord, if we are tired, if we are weary, may we be responsive, being faithful in prayer, faithful in responding and knowing that we need prayer. Lord, to see a transformative work in our lives as you change us, and you change us first in our hearts. Lord, make us willing. Lord, may we be humble as we love others. May you bring unity to us, that the world might see it and see the light of Christ. That your kingdom come, your will would be done. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hey, one last thing. I know I've gone a little bit long, so thank you for not seeking vengeance if I've messed up your lunch plans. Hey, I want to invite Tess up here. Tess Farrell, where you at? Hey, everyone say, hey, Tess.
Hi.
Awesome. I don't. Most people now know who you are. Yeah. Being up here, worship leading, being on our screen. So Tess has now been working for us for a good amount of time. You did an internship, went back to Canada, came back again to a position in ministry support, and That's gone really quickly. Phenomenal job in youth, social media, worship leading, all of our media, like the massive load of production and what we do online. But hey, we're sending you off. It was going to be like not to come back, but I'm so thankful that God confirmed to you, no, Warrnambool is where he wants you in ministry. But why don't you tell us what your plans are?
Okay, so Thursday morning, it's stupid o'clock, I am heading on a plane back to Canada for a time, about 6 months, and I'll be back hopefully around October, so pray that I can get a flight back, and travel is much easier by then, we're believing for that, so really excited just for the opportunity, so thankful to you, Tim, to the leadership, to all the volunteers who are helping take over some of the roles that I do, and the staff as well, so thank you guys so much for just, I don't know, being my church family. I'm going to miss you guys so much, but I also know that when I come back, it's just going to be amazing to see what God has done in the past 6 months, and I'll also be doing a little bit of work
remotely.
From July on here in Canada. So it's almost kind of like we're branching out. We could start a second campus, actually. Should we do that? Vancouver Island, Gateway Church.
We love Canadians and vice versa. Hey, awesome. Yeah. So you're going to head home. Your best friend is getting married.
Yes.
You haven't
been
able to see your Canadian family because, like, we're your family too.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And so, look, you know, we love Tess. And I just want to invite you, you know, as she heads off for a time and then comes back and the logistics around that, right as we close today, and I'll invite Ian up to follow our prayer. But would you stand with me? You know, we're a community pouring ourselves out in acts of love for one another. And I invite you, you know, a prayerful position is quite often, especially in the Old Testament, you know, outstretched arms. And so if you're comfortable with that, we just stretch your arms out. We want to pray for Tess as we close today and we send her off and just pray that God would bless you in your time away. So Lord, we thank you for the call to ministry and the anointing on Tess. We thank you for all of the things that she does that bless us and reach out with the light of Christ into both, you know, the in-person world and the online world that is profound, transformative, and powerful. Lord, I pray that you would bless her and as you oversee the practical and logistics of getting back to Canada, Lord, for Audrey and David, they're getting married. Lord, we pray over here in Oz for that couple, a blessing on their marriage. And Lord, would you just make it, you know, practical and work in terms of working remotely and then returning to us mid-October. And Lord, we put in your hands the incredible potential and call on Tessa's life. And we thank you. And, you know, in love as one family, we send you off. And in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless.
Thank you, church.